Dear brethren, I will attempt to present the thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart. Do forgive me if you're not able to understand sometime, because my voice seems to be going. But it has been a real blessing to be here to study the Word of God. And in an atmosphere of what I might call of calm repose, where there's no rancor, there's no scoring of point, but seeking diligently to see what the Lord has to say to us. And that is wonderful. One should not bring up the negative, because we are in this calm repose and therefore in the enjoyment of what the Lord has presented to us. And as our brother brought out the facts of the manna, the old corn of the land, the thought came that God had given it to them, but they had to gather it. And they had to gather it where the Lord had given it to them. And there could not be the gathering of the old corn before there was the gathering of the manna. And there had to be growth, experience with the Lord, and then we find them coming to the place of Gilgal, where the flesh is dealt with, and it is in that place we see they are able then to enjoy the old corn of the land. Christ indeed in resurrection. And as we have been looking at his glories, that is a wonderful place. It is the old corn of the land as we would seek to enjoy it. The thought also came, which I would like to look at in keeping with that, in 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Verse 13, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I'd also like to look at Daniel, chapter 1. We have been occupied with it before. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my health before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. The thought is, Saul had received God's word, and God had spoken to him as to what he should do. Because the word of God is given so that we may act upon it. We enjoy the word of God, and we enjoy how it titillates our intellect sometimes, but it has to go further than that. It is not just to enjoy what we read. It must take root in our hearts, and we must act upon it, and our lives must manifest that which we have taken in. The conference has been at a very high level, and we thank the Lord for that. But we have to come to the point where it comes down practically to our lives while we are here. Because these things are given not just that we should learn them, but that we should be a testimony for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. Here we have two characters. We look at Saul. Saul, we read, when he was to be anointed king, and they were looking for him, they couldn't find him. He was somewhere with the stuff somewhere hidden. And from there we see that Saul lived a life that was directed by situations, that was directed by that which he was experiencing in his life. The word of God would only be for him as it is convenient for him. And this is a life being reactive. He reacted to things rather than being proactive, knowing where he is and where he's going and plan for it. Here, when he was told to destroy the Amalekites and all that they had, because the Amalekites, they were being judged by Israel because their wickedness, God had now set them in judgment. But the people would say to Saul, let's save the best for sacrifice. Can God not give them what they should sacrifice to him? He has been doing it all the time. Why do they need that which the Amalekites have cultivated, have tended to give that to the Lord, when the Lord said, destroy them all? And that is what situation living is all about. It's going by the situation. Here was they had cattle or sheep, which would fit very well into what they had, God had required of them. But God had said, destroy them. Where is the obedience to God's word? And so later on, we read to obey is better than sacrifice. It is not what I think or what God has said he wants. It is not only that. It has to be what he has provided for himself. As we have in Abraham, when he said to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb, the lamb for the burnt offering. It is what God has provided. In the case of Cain and Abel, we see Cain did the same thing. He brought the best produce of the land that he had tended, and he brought that which the ground brought forth. Then we see Abel brought of the flock, the shedding of blood. And one was, Cain was not acceptable to God. And yet God said to him, if you do what is acceptable, he would accept it. But he decided, no, God must listen. God must take what I have provided. But God, the scripture tells us that God accepted that which was of Abel and not of Cain. And Cain, we see, decided he would go out from the presence of God. That is the heart of man. And that is the flesh. And sometimes when we get caught up in this world, and we tend, if we are not careful, to act according to the situations in which we are. But we are instructed that that should not be the case. When we come to Daniel, we find someone who was proactive. He got the word of God. It came to him. In Israel, he was taught what was acceptable to God and what was not acceptable. He did not wait until when he was in Babylon. He did not wait until it came up to him that he had to eat certain things. He had already purposed in his heart. He had set himself, or swore by himself, that I will not defile myself. He didn't wait until it came. He had set that. And so when he was told that this is what the king had said, that they had to be fed according to the supply from the king's stable, he could say immediately, no, no, I cannot eat that. No, the situation would have been, I'm in a king's palace, I'm being provided the best. So in a situation like that, let me have some of the best. That is how man would think, and that is how one probably would act in certain situations. But we find in him, in Daniel, that the word of God was more important to him than all that was supplied at the king's table. If the word of God was that he should not defile, that if he ate the things that were presented, which I'm sure included things offered to idols, things which are not butchered, in a fashion that God had told Israel that they should prepare their things. And therefore, those things would defile himself. So when he came to that point, he said, I will not defile myself. And dear brethren, we have been studying the word of God. We've been looking at the glories of the Lord Jesus. We've been looking at that to which we have been brought. Now, how does our lives answer to these things? Many times, we find ourselves in situations. You know, when I used to work in this world, I used to find myself in some very peculiar situations. And it had to be that by the grace of God that I had to take a stand in these situations. Because one cannot be aligned with the world and at the same time be aligned with Christ. We cannot serve God and mammon. And in the real sense, I was in that sort of situation because I used to work as a banker. And I had to take clients out, and we had to go to many things, be a part of many things, but they had to know where I stood. Rubbing shoulders with the wealthy and famous of the land, dealing with billions of dollars, yet one had to take a stand, because if one allowed oneself to be sucked in, it is very easy to be sucked in to the things that the world offers. But one has to be proactive. And so in our lives, when we leave from this conference, the challenge is, how will I demonstrate in my life that which to which I have been called? I have been made by adoption, I'm a son. By birth, I'm a child of God. And therefore, my life should answer to that which I have. I should be his representative here, seeking to serve him, not only by word, not only keeping it in my mind, but it must be a part of whom I am. It is not just, this is what God has for his sons and for his children, but it must be what God has given me and what must characterize my life, whether it's at home with my family, whether it's in the world where I work, in my community, as I'm associated with many people. It must be that I am different. I represent Christ in everything that I do. And this must stand out. Otherwise, I will not have had the gain of what the Lord is bringing to us or has brought to us over this weekend, over this week of studies. Here we find that Daniel, he purposed in his heart, and therefore he went to those who were in authority. He did not take it upon himself to say, well, I'm just going to despise that. No, he did it in a way that was dignified and where he could be seen as one represent who is showing or manifesting that he belongs to God. He went and he told the eunuch and he asked him, could I have something different? And because of his attitude, we see that God was with him and God made the preparation. God prepared the heart of those who were in charge that they would give him as he desired. And in the end, we read that his countenance was better than the countenance of all the others who ate at the king's table. But the point is that he was proactive. Let us be proactive. Let us have in our hearts that we will not defile ourselves, that we will be the representatives of Christ here. Just as he represented the Father, he said, as the Father has sent me into the world, even so I have sent you. And as the representative of the Lord, may we seek to serve him acceptably, to manifest, to answer in our lives that which he has brought us into and that which we are in Christ Jesus. Because what we are can never, as we have emphasized, can never be changed. We are His, and our hope is we're looking forward to being with the Lord in glory. And it will only be a transition. It is not that we have to go through some kind of metamorphosis to get to that point. We already have the life of Christ. And when the Lord comes, all that will be changed is our bodies. Because this body is what responds to Satan. When that is changed, there will be nothing in us that will resonate with the overtures of Satan. Because we already have the life of Christ. And so the thought I really wanted to bring to us is that now we have heard, we are more responsible to the Lord. And let us not be reactive as we sometimes are, but let us be proactive. Let us seek to establish where we are, what we stand for, and that indeed our lives will follow that. And the Lord indeed will be glorified. May the Lord help us that in meditating on these things, somewhat of it may help us that we may give Him glory in our lives. Amen.